And here's what we're doing. If you're new to Calvary, you know that Calvary, we teach through the Bible. Amen? Line by line, chapter by chapter, book by book. However, we're still in the New Year's word that God has given specifically to this fellowship for 2022. So after I may have maybe one, two more sermons about the word that God gave us, the word revolution, okay, for 2022, then we'll start back, and I'll be teaching again on Sundays in the New Testament, and we'll start back, we'll be in 2 Thessalonians. So, but for the next few Sundays, we're going to be talking about that one word the Lord has given us. Now, we know that if we catch up, if you that weren't here, you'll need to go back and listen or pick up that CD, go online and watch it or whatnot to understand what I'm saying today. But 2022, it's a brand new year, but it's more than a brand new year for us. I don't know how to do, I can only declare it. I can't define all those things. Only the Holy Spirit can do this as we move along into the year. Amen? So it's a process of stepping out in faith and walking with Him and letting Him lead us and guide us. But 2022 is actually the beginning of a new season for us and for many other people. And so I see the season from 2022 to 2024. Remember, the word that I gave us on the New Year's sermon was from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, where it says this, "To everything there is a season." Say that word with me, season. That is, a season is a fixed portion of time, okay? You have summer, winter, and so forth. It's a season, a defined number. So everything, there is a season, and then it says a time, and remember, a time is the beginning of the period of the season, a time for every purpose under heaven. So this season that we're in, only God can define it for us. But the word that He gave us, remember, first time ever in our history that the Lord spoke to this specific body and gave us three words in one year. And the last word that He gave us was the word revolution. Remember, the word revolution as a noun means a change, a complete change in the way people do things. It comes from the Latin word to mean turn around, or revolve and turn around and so forth. And we, this church, I pray that we move into the revolution. Amen. That God has for us. Now listen carefully. This morning, I'm going to talk about how to start a revolution. Just two words. Just two words. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn anywhere this morning as I usually do, because I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. Now, if you don't want to write those scriptures down, all you have to do is go on our app on your phone, and you know, our whatever it's called, the Calvary app, and because I don't do that, okay? And you'll have every scripture that I'm giving you right now, and probably a lot more that I'm not going to be giving you. They are there for you for this study, okay? So I encourage you to listen to what I'm talking about this morning from God's Word. I am not giving you, nor have I ever given you, anything else but the Word of God, the Scripture of God. These are not my thoughts. This is what God commands, the things I'm about to cover. Amen? So how do we start a revolution? Just two words. Well, the first way we do it, remember what I said the last time we were together, is that imagine this. The true church, the 21st century American church, actually, everything that we do revolves around the head of the church, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? That is a revolution. Amen? Not your will, not my will, but finally God's will being done among God's people who He has redeemed and who He has saved. Amen? Now, so with all of that being said, a few scriptures from the New Year's message, Matthew 11:12. Jesus said this about the kingdom of God. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven... Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven are the same, okay? They're synonymous. So the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me give you a couple other translations. Tyndale says it this way, they that make violence pull it, meaning the kingdom of God, unto them. And Christ speaks of believers, here it comes, they seize upon the kingdom and they make it their own. What a great word. Here's my favorite one, William's translation. Until this present moment, the kingdom of heaven has been continuously taken by storm, and those who take it by storm, here it is, are seizing it, the kingdom of God, as a precious prize. Oh, is it a precious prize? Absolutely. Now listen, concerning the kingdom of God, from the last sermon, Jesus said in Luke 12:32, he says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is my Father's good pleasure. It is God's delight to give you the kingdom of God." Now, when does that happen? We must have the right mindset. Because the reason I say that, it is so easy for believers, me included, come on, to think of the kingdom of God as something that is arriving only at the second coming of Christ. We all think of that. We even call it, remember, well, the kingdom age. In other words, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We call it the millennia. But the Bible says that the kingdom is already here. It's right here, right now. Not only is it here and it is coming in the future, and Jesus will set up his kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness forever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. The kingdom age, 1,000-year reign. Now listen very carefully. If you study out the four gospels, here's what you're going to find. The word kingdom in the four gospels, you'll find it that it's mentioned 109 times. Guess how many times in the gospels there the word church is mentioned? 3. Isn't that interesting? Now, not only that, study, go to later on, Matthew 13 and the other gospels. And you'll find that nearly every parable that Jesus taught was about the kingdom of God. Yes. And we kind of, some reason we don't think too much of the kingdom of God. We're always thinking about just heaven. You know what I'm saying? Well, heaven is the kingdom of God. Now, but with all that being said, the very first words out of the mouth of our Savior in the Gospel of Matthew was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It's right here. It's among you right this very minute. If you study out the kingdom of God now, for example, Acts opens with the kingdom of God. After Jesus' resurrection, before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus, by many infallible proofs, he appeared to the apostles, remember the 12, and he spoke unto them concerning things of the kingdom of God. So would you say the kingdom of God is very important to our Lord? Listen to me now. He's getting ready, or he, of course he did, ascend to heaven. And what did he speak about? I'm going to tell you about 666, okay? Come on. That book wasn't written yet. Do you understand? He says, "I'm leaving. Boys, come here. I want to speak to you 40 days off and on about the importance of the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is going to be the rule, and you are operating by the power of the Holy Spirit through the kingdom of God that you've been called into." Does that make sense? So the Acts of, actually it should be called the Acts of Jesus Christ our Lord, opens with the kingdom of God. And if you go to Acts chapter 28, at the very end, the last chapter, did you know that it also closes with the kingdom of God? Let me give you the scripture. Acts 28:30, it says that Paul dwelt there 2 whole years in his own rented house. Remember, he was a prisoner. And he received all that came to him. And guess what he was doing? He was preaching the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God, really? The kingdom of God is the absolute rule of God. Did God create everything? Does God own everything? That means everything is under his rule. Amen? That is so important to know. And if you belong to the kingdom of God, if you are truly a believer, then we are to have only one mindset. One. Whenever the disciples came unto Jesus and they said, "Lord, would you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray?" And Jesus spake unto them and said, in this manner pray ye, or the word manner there, in this is your divine outline. Let's look at it that way. Our Father, our, plural. That means the Lord's Prayer is the corporate prayer of the church. It's not singular. The singular prayer would be Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. But here, the Lord's Prayer, it's corporate. It's for all of us. It should be prayed every day. Our Father, which art in heaven, we praise you. We honor thy name. Oh, you are our righteousness. You are our provider. You follow me. He says, for hallowed thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? Right here. Well, who's going to do the will of God on earth? The church, and only the church. The world isn't. Oh, man, listen. That should be our prayer. The church of Jesus Christ on earth in agreement with God in heaven to do his will. I'm talking about two words in a moment. I'm talking about a revolution. I'm talking about growing up. I'm talking about getting mean and lean in the spirit of the God of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm tired. Aren't you tired? I'm tired of COVID. I'm tired of whatever that new one is. I'm tired of the old one. I'm tired of Fauci, Fucci, whatever his name is. I'm tired. But I am not tired of the living God. Man, matter of fact, the kingdom of God is joy and righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need and that's what we desire. I'm talking about a revolution. I'm talking about changing things through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Because God rules. Amen. Let me give you another scripture. Psalm 103:19. I love this one. It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. He has a throne. It's there. Now listen to me. And his kingdom. His kingdom rules over all. Say that last word. All. What does all mean? It means everything. It means everyone. Amen. He rules over all. What did the angel tell Mary, the mother of the Lord? Said, oh, your son, Mary, he's going to be great. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And it says, his kingdom will never end. Never end. It says his kingdom rules over all. I'm going to tell you something. You have to have the right mindset from now on. Yes. The world that we live in rules nothing. I mean nothing. Nothing at all. Satan, he's not in control. He's defeated. His demons are defeated. Do you understand? Not only that, science, I believe in science. I mean, if I hear that one more time, I'm buying those rubber bricks. And I mean, when that the news comes on, it feels good to be a little violent. You know? I'm saying, oh, Lord, no. Science is not in control. I don't want to shake you up, but Biden is not in control. The Democrats are not in control. The Republicans are not in control. America is not in control. But I tell you what, I belong to a God, and he is in control, amen? And you belong to him. Now, you listen to me. Two words. I'm going to give those words to you in a moment. You see, the problem is we cannot be like the children of Israel. It says in Matthew's gospel, chapter 21 and following, I don't know, someplace in there. And Jesus came unto them and he was preaching the good news unto them and so forth. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't want the Lord. They didn't know the time of their visitation. They missed their hour of grace. You know that. Yes. He says, Jesus said, I say it to you, talking to the Jewish leaders, the kingdom of God. You know, well, listen, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. You know, see, we just read those words and keep reading. Do you hear what Jesus just said? He came to his own received him not. Jesus said in John 5:40, you know, you were not willing to come to me that you might have life. They rejected the King of Kings and their own God, and the God-man was in their very midst. And he says, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. Remember, they didn't know their time of visitation. And given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. What nation is that? Was that America? No. It's the church. It's the new man, the new humanity. Amen? Has God done away with Israel? No. Don't ever let... No. Replacement theology is not... No. God's not through with Israel. Amen? Now, listen very carefully. This means if God, and he does, rules over all, and now the kingdom has been, in a sense, we're operating in the kingdom of God now. We're the new humanity, the new man. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Yes. That means this. There is only one true, holy, holy, eternal kingdom, and it's God's. You see, listen, Satan has a kingdom, yes, but it's not holy. It's not eternal. And I'll tell you what, it's definitely not true. Satan's kingdom, which is in the heavenlies above us, his sphere of operation, if you will, no, is a false kingdom created by a wicked rebellion. And Jesus said, he's the God of this age and he's going to be cast down. Listen to me now. The kingdom of the devil is a kingdom of darkness and not light. It's a kingdom of unrighteousness, not righteousness. It's a kingdom of disobedience, not obedience. Amen. It's a kingdom filled with deception because he is the father of every lie. He is an angel of light. That's the description of him in the Bible. He makes darkness look good. He makes darkness look like light, loved one. And listen to me, all who are in the kingdom of the devil, that fallen, wicked kingdom, whoever is in it, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, they oppose the kingdom of God. Yes. The Bible says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God. And the whole world, the whole fallen world that is antichrist, the world lies in the arms or the cradle of the wicked one. Listen to me now. There is only two kingdoms, only two. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, speaking of the kingdom of God, I'm going to get to two words in just a moment about the revolution. But speaking of the kingdom of God, there is only one way to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus told us how when he was speaking to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3 and verse 7, okay? Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said this, you must be born again, or you will never see the kingdom of God. In verse 7 of the same chapter, Jesus said, you must. It's a divine necessity. You must be born again. Now, it says, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't say, unless one becomes a Baptist. No, nothing wrong with it. I'm not being critical. I love the Baptist. It's a name. Unless one becomes a Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecostal, unless one belongs to Calvary Chapel, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is that what Jesus said? No, unless one joins the church. You can't join the church. You can only be born again into the church. Amen? Unless one is baptized. Well, no. You're saved and then you're baptized. Do you follow me? How important that is. You must be born again. And the moment that a person is born again, something happens to that person. Yes. Immediately a transfer of citizenship takes place. Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the power of darkness and delivered us or translated us or conveyed us over into the kingdom of his of the Son of His love. We belong to the kingdom of God. Do you understand? We should be kingdom thinking people, and it seems like we're not today. We need to say, well, wait a minute. I belong to the kingdom of God. I'm no longer a citizen of this fallen world where the devil rules. No. It says in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That right there is not, loved one, that scripture is not a future thing. It's a present reality. We belong to the kingdom. We are the citizens of heaven right this very second. The Bible says that we are already, God sees us, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies right this minute. That is our spiritual position. Amen? Listen, God's not going to kick you out of heaven. You're a citizen. Man, and I say, oh, Lord, that's wonderful. So what do? Well, then we're to live in this world as citizens of another world. We're to live in this world with all the kingdom benefits of the world and the kingdom that we belong to. Listen, if you don't believe the Bible, how are you living? The Bible is so clear. What did Paul the Apostle tell the church at Ephesus? He said in Ephesians 1:3, he said, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. We have been pronounced blessed by God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is not when we get to heaven, loved one. That's right this very minute. And who is he who has overcome the world but he, the Bible says, who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen? Listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, we're so good. So what do? Well, we need to work in the kingdom where every member should be a minister. Every member should be an ambassador. There should be I have a couple more sermons, I think, before I'll get into Thessalonians. There should be tents all over this city. What does that mean? That means you have to work. Yes. Well, yeah, but you mean you're in the kingdom and you're not a worker? Yeah. What does that mean? You mean you've been redeemed and saved? You're a new creation. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Your names are written in the book of life. Heaven is your home. But you're not a worker? That means you're a slacker. Yes. That's not scripture, by the way. Whenever Paul the Apostle, when he was closing out that great letter to the church of Colossae, that Gentile church, great, oh, what a great study. Remember what he said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 11? He was naming, or actually 10, 11, 12, all the way down. He was naming all these people that were laboring with him and how much he loved them and so forth. And here's what he called them. He says, oh, listen, these are my only fellow workers in the kingdom of God. You, me, we are our only fellow workers in the kingdom of God. Amen? Are you working? That is so important because it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:12 that you, Paul says, should walk worthy of God. You remember, I don't need to tell you what the word worthy means, right? I'm going to tell you anyway. Remember that we are to walk worthy of our calling, Ephesians 4:1. The word worthy is a picture of a set of scales, okay? And they're balanced. In other words, you hear the word of God, you do the word of God. In other words, you're equal in doctrine, equal in hearing. If not, you're not balanced in your walk. If you just hear the word of God and not do, you know what I'm saying? What does that mean? It's not a worthy walk. Now listen carefully. Paul says that you should walk worthy of God, and here's why, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Amen. The highest privilege in the universe. I belong, you belong, we belong to the kingdom of God. We're not of this world. This is foreign soil. This is enemy territory. Do you understand? Yes. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And we have to walk worthy. And if we're not, If we're not working, what are we going to do? Listen to what John Calvin says. It's the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. How do we do that? Well, let's just take one script or a couple. 1 John 2:6. If we say that we abide in him, meaning Jesus, then we should walk just as he walked. How do you, not in your own power. No, do we have the Holy Spirit? Is he transforming us into the same image of Christ from glory to glory to glory into Christ-likeness? The more, the older you get in the Lord, the more you start to be acting just like the Lord. It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. We should be doing the same thing. Amen. How do we do that? Well, what did Jesus tell us to do in John 15:4? He says, abide in me as I abide in you. Oh, listen. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Fifth verse. For without me, you can do nothing. It's Jesus working in us. It's just say, okay, Lord, here I am. The only way the kingdom of God is going to be manifested before the kingdom of God comes when at the second coming, the only way it's going to be manifested is you, yes. Is the church of Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no other way. I mean, think, you want a revolutionary thought? Here's a revolutionary thought for the 21st century church. The church must stop making excuses.
Yes.
Boy, we're good at that, aren't we?
Yes. Well, the Dallas Cowboys are on.
No, the Dallas Cowboys lost. And Jerry Jones is mad. I'd read the sports. That's about the only thing that's gives comfort in the Fort Worth Startlegram. I lost my thought. The church, a revolutionary thought, that we must stop making excuses. Listen, the cost of following Jesus, so many churches, just follow Jesus and everything, all your troubles will be over. That's a lie. That's not true. That's when they really start. That's when you find out, I'm in trouble. That's when you find out there's temptation in the world and you've got to overcome it. That's when you weren't tempted before because you didn't care. And now all of a sudden, oh my gosh, oh, this is great. You see, the cost of discipleship, it costs you. You know, Jesus talking about the cost of discipleship and not making excuses if you want to follow him said this beginning in Luke 9:57. And it happened as Jesus journeyed on the road, someone said to him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, okay. Foxes have holes, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You want to join me? I don't have a home. I don't have anything to put my head on. You come on, follow me. Then he said to another, well, you follow me. But the guy said, Lord, okay, let me first go home and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, well, you let the dead bury their own dead. In other words, the man was saying, my father's still alive. Now, whenever he passes, 10 years, 15, you bet I'm going to come after you and follow you. Jesus said, that's not going to work. You let the dead bury their own dead. Here's what he said to do. But you go and you preach the kingdom of God. And another came to him and said, Lord, I'll follow you. Oh, but let me first go home and bid my family, those who are in my house, farewell. And Jesus said to him, no one. Having put his hand to the plow, that means the work of the kingdom, and looks back at what you have, what you're leaving. Oh, I'm giving up so much to follow Jesus. He said, is not fit for the kingdom of God. You know what Jesus just said? He said, me first is no longer tolerable. It can't be about you anymore. It has to be about me. And that is a revolution. When a church says, I care nothing except my Lord, that is when the revolution truly begins. Yes. Listen to me now, the kingdom that we're a part of, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 12, 25, when God was speaking, it says that, you know, no one escaped him upon earth. When he spoke, they ran away from him. Don't turn away from the God that speaks from heaven, whose voice shook the earth. But now, that's now, he's made a promise, and God doesn't lie. He says, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, I'm going to shake heaven. Yes, once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, of the things that are made, the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Here it comes. Therefore, that's about us now. Therefore, we are receiving, we are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Amen. Oh, Lord. I say, oh, Lord, yes. You mean the kingdom? No, nothing can shake my kingdom. He says, listen, let us have grace. That means let's give thanks to God. He says, by which we may serve God. That means work for the Lord with reverence, godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You want a revolution? Believe what that just said. Listen to me. You, me, this church, we belong to the only unshakable reality in the universe. We belong to the only unshakable kingdom in the universe. It is eternal. And listen, nothing can touch what is eternal. It's eternal. Amen. It's forever and ever. Listen, I'll tell you what I know. I know that this nation, and I've lived a long time, and I've seen so much in my short life. I'm only 40, right, Mario? I tell you that this nation that we live in, that we love, is shaking. I'm telling you that they're shaking in the Ukraine right now. I'm telling you they're shaking in North Korea. And they're shaking in China, and Canada is shaking, and Mexico is shaking. Yes. Do you understand? The nations are shaking. Yes. Everyone in this life is shaking. And I look and I say, oh Lord, but Christians, we should not be shaking. Amen. Because we are part of a kingdom that is unshakable. Have you finally come to the place in your life when you honestly can say, and I know it's hard when you're young and you're just getting married and you're just raising kids and you're just trying to get your career and your home, all those things. But have you come to that place when you say this with all, maybe all the benefits, whatever it is, this is not my home. Yes. This is never going to be my home. Yes. I don't belong to this world, for this world is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abides forever and ever and ever. Amen. And that's who we belong to. We're citizens of an unshakable kingdom. So now, what are we to do? How to start a revolution? Just two words. I'm getting ready to share something with you that you know very, very well. Matter of fact, those are all scriptures that I've been giving you, right? Yes. That's right. Not Bill's opinion, but God's word. But I learned something as I was putting this all together, and I don't know why, after 35 years in the ministry, that I didn't know it before. Isn't it great? See, you keep growing. Did you know that? Yeah. You never grow up in the ministry or in the Christian life. You just keep growing and growing and growing. Yes. You never arrive until you arrive home. Amen. Then you're complete. And I was studying all this out. So this is what I say to you this morning. If you have ears to hear, then you better listen about what I'm about to say from the Word of God. Did you know that the phrase, the two words, seek first, is only found one time in the entire Bible? I didn't know that. I don't know why. I never did a study of a phrase. You know, you put your little italics around there and then you do your search if you do the New King James or whatever it is. Nowhere in the entire Bible. not only one time, seek first. Do you know that those two words, truly believed, will ignite a revolution? If you truly believe it. Yes. Seek first. Did you know that Jesus never said, seek first about anything in the Gospels but one thing? Just one thing. Did you know that Jesus spoke about one thing more than anything in the Gospels, even the church? Now, you know the scripture I'm about to give you. They'll start with verse 32 of Matthew chapter 6 that says this. Jesus said, for all these things the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles, meaning the lost. What if we go back and if we took that in context, what would it be? The things of life, the necessities of life, what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Jesus said, don't be like them. All the Gentiles, the lost, those are outside of the kingdom of God. They don't know what to do. They just seek that and seek this and seek that. And Jesus says, but your Father, the who rule, can I add? But same, our Father who rules in heaven. But your Father knows that you need all, not some, all of these things. Verse 33, so what did Jesus say to do? Are you ready for the two words that will ignite a revolution? He says, seek first. Say that. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and His righteousness and all of these things, whatever you need in your life. That, listen, not greed, need, will be added unto you. Did you even, I'm going to get mean. Can I get mean?
Yes.
Oh. Did you truly, did you seek the kingdom this morning? Did you go into your quiet place? Did you go to the altar that you have in your home? Did you go before the Lord? Listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is the reality that we live in that's going to pass away. But right there, like I told the early service, follow me. I'm going to leave this reality. And the way that you leave this reality is by seek first the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? I don't call my friend, this is what I need. No, I'm going to my Father. Yes. I'm going to go buy a self-help book. Right? No, stop it. I'm going to get more education. Nothing wrong with more education. But why don't you do what you're called to do?
Yes.
You're part of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And here I am in this reality, but there's my quiet place. And I'm going to step out of this reality, and right now, I'm in the kingdom, and there's the throne of grace, and there's the mercy seat, and the blood is upon it, and the Ten Commandments are in it that we broke, and Aaron's rod that bloomed, and the pot of manna that they despised. Do you understand? And the blood is over all of it, meaning it is forgiven. And I enter in by virtue of my relationship with Jesus Christ and through the blood, because I'm a citizen of the kingdom.
Amen.
And I seek first. Oh God. Oh God. Thank you. Thank you for letting me come into the place where everything that I need, whenever I need it, the place where I can come and find help in time of need, yes. The place where I can find mercy and grace and obtain it in time of need.
Yes.
I can go there. I can go there to a Father who loves me so much He let Jesus die for me. And I say, oh Lord, oh that is a true reality. You want to start a revolution? Does it, you really want it, or do you want it just sermon after sermon? Well, two words. Seek first. That means this. It has to be the number one priority in the life of this church. Matthew 6:33 is not an option. It is a command from Jesus Christ, our Lord, to always be seeking the church. Seeking the kingdom of God. Listen, there are many ways to seek things in this life. And there are many ways to get what you want in this life. I know that. And you know what? We live in this nation. It's easy to get the things you want, but what you want might not be the best.
Yes.
You know what I've learned? I know a lot, not so much anymore, I had so many friends that were multimillionaires. Did you know money makes many people miserable?
Yes.
There's many ways to get rich in this country. Many. But I'll tell you this. The Word of God says that our Father maketh one rich, and He adds no sorrow to it.
Amen.
Proverbs 10:22. No sorrow. I'll tell you what, the world can make you rich, and it can punish you because of it. I know I've seen those that are so wealthy and yet so miserable. But I'll tell you, when God makes you rich,
Amen.
Oh, dear Lord, no sorrow. Why? Because God knows exactly how much you need when you need it. Amen? Oh, and that's what we need to understand, loved one. Listen, the violent, we learned last sermon, not 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, 3 weeks ago. See how far removed I am? The violent take it by force. How do we do that? No. The violent take it by force. We see the kingdom of God as a prize. And how do we do it? We seize the throne of grace, loved one, by prayer. By prayer. We're appropriating by faith all the promises of God whenever you need them. The Bible says in Corinthians, it says that all the promises of God are yes. And again, I say yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God cannot lie. And oh, how we just need to run there. Listen, we don't have to search for the kingdom. We know where the kingdom is. We know where to go to the throne of grace. Colossians 3:1, it says, if you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Keep on seeking them. Listen, everything that you need right now. I need my marriage is in trouble. Seek ye first. Oh, but I'm sick. Seek ye first. Then go to the doctor. Okay?
Yes.
Seek ye first.
Yes.
Number one, go to the kingdom. That's where everything you need in this life, it's laid up for you. All the treasures in heaven. Listen, they're right there, right now. But you have to do it by faith. You have to believe the Word of God. You have to truly say, He said, seek first. There's my answer. But I have a problem. Oh, no, seek first.
Yes.
Do you understand? See how simple that is. But do you do it? See, that's the thing right there. It says, seek those things that are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Why? That's where Jesus rules. Set your mind on things above, not things below. That's where Satan rules and sin rules. Do you understand?
Yep.
He said, oh, you do what you're supposed to do. Go where Christ rules, who's the head of all principality and power. Amen. Who is sitting at the right hand of God, and He's sitting there right now. He is not only that, you know what He's doing? Our Lord, He is ever liveth for us, and He makes intercession for us right now.
Yes.
Man, I say, oh Lord, I just give you thanks. Listen, here's revolution. The sheep of His pasture, we revolve and live our lives and our marriages and raising our children and doing His will and seeking His will around the throne of grace, because every provision you need is there. Matter of fact, do you need wisdom? He has all the wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Jesus possesses it, everything. Colossians 2:3. Amen. Everything you need is there. No one is smarter than Jesus. Amen. Now, remember from the first sermon, when Jesus was about to be crucified, He was brought before Pilate. And Pilate was asking Him questions. Are you a king? He says, yes, it is that you say I am. Meaning, yeah, I'm a king. And Pilate's looking at Him, you know, there in John's gospel, and says, well, where's your kingdom? He says, oh, my kingdom is not from here. If so, my servants would fight for me. And Jesus goes on and goes on, and He says, Jesus says, yeah, you rightly say I'm a king. This cause I came into the world, I bear witness of the truth. Here it comes. Everyone who is of the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everyone who is of the truth. Here, listen to what Jesus said. hears my voice. And those that do not hear his voice may not be of the kingdom. Jesus said in John 10, 27, what did he say? He says, I know my sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me. You hear and you do. Does that make sense? Yes. And that's so important. Okay, second point then. If you are in the kingdom, you have to hear what Jesus is saying from the Word of God. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I ask you to do? James, the half-brother of our Lord, what did he say in James 1, 22? He says this, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. And if you're just a hearer only and not a doer, it says deceiving yourselves. Oh, listen, we have to hear. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 83, 81 at 13. He cried out and he says, God says this, oh, if my people, if they would only listen to me, if they would only listen to me. Isn't that a cry from the heart of God? If they'll only listen to me, he says, I would have satisfied them with the best of the best. I would have subdued their enemies. I'd have fed them with the finest wheat. But they didn't listen to me. They didn't listen to me. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24, listen now. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man, built a house upon the rock. You know the rest of the story. The storms of life came. Did that house fall? No, not at all. Listen, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine. May I just give you a couple? He says this in Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, meaning because of Jesus. He says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are you when men hate you, exclude you, revile you, cast out your name, meaning for evil. You're a Christian, huh? And do so for the Son of Man's sake. In other words, you're persecuted for Jesus. Man, listen, you want revolutionary Christianity? You know what Jesus' response is? Our response is to be to those who hate us and use us and persecute us is to be the same response that Jesus. You know what he says to do in Luke 6, 27? Do you have an ear? You better hear now. He says, I say to you who hear. So only those that are hearing right now, listen to what Jesus said. He said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. Is that the life of a revolutionary? Dear Lord, listen, what are we to do? We kill people with goodness. We kill, yeah. I'm going to kill you with love. I'm going to kill you with prayer. I'm going to kill you because I'm going to do good to you. In other words, I'm going to be so violent. I'm violently good. You know, that's what this means, loved one. And then Jesus said, though, listen now, in Matthew 7, 26, what did he say? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, not the rock. Here come the storms of life. You know the story. And that house fell, and great was its fall. Now listen, hearing and doing is one act. You've been taught that here. Hearing and doing. In other words, if I said, Mario, would you stand up, please? You see, he didn't do it. See what I mean? He heard it, but he didn't do it. Now, if he stood up, hearing and doing, would you stand? Oh, that's one act. Are you following me? Hearing and doing is one act. Now listen very carefully. If you're not hearing and doing, I want you to hear the words of Jesus. He says in Matthew 13, 19, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom, that's what we've been doing this morning, and does not understand it, guess what happens? Well, the old wicked one, he comes and snatches what's been trying to sow in your heart out. He says in Matthew 13, 23, Jesus says, but whoever hears the words of the kingdom and understands it, oh, he bears fruit, produces some 100-fold, 60-fold, some 30. Are you bearing fruit? Is this church bearing fruit? We are living in the last days. We are living and we're seeing before our eyes a nation that is calling evil good and good evil. Yes. Do you understand? We're watching it disintegrate as a sewer before our eyes. Yes. The liberal church is rampant in our nation today. And the liberal American church becomes, the more it becomes like the world, the less powerful it becomes. It's not salty.
Yes.
It's not light. It has a name that it's alive. But Jesus said, no, I'm sorry, you're dead.
Yeah.
Now listen to me about the liberal church. Let me read this one description of liberalism by H. Richard Niebuhr. He says this is what's happening today. Watch or listen. A God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of Christ without a cross. That's where we are. Not us, the liberal church. Now listen to me. We must have a revolutionary mindset.
Yes.
Number one, we seek first the kingdom of God. We hear the word of God. We do the word of God. Revolution then begins when the church will bring the kingdom of God, the heart of God, the love of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to others. Others, meaning it's not about you. It's about, Christianity is about others. Amen. That's so important. In other words, that's the golden rule. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever Jesus said you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. I'm going to tell you that the golden rule is absent from our nation, and it's almost absent from the church. We live today, and I don't need to say this to you. You already know that we live in a rude, ungodly, selfish, impatient behavior is rampant. The church, and we know America, but it's sad for the church, we have no capacity anymore for inconvenience. Don't inconvenience me. Don't ask me to do anything. Well, I thought we were workers in the kingdom. I thought Jesus said to be a servant was the greatest thing you could ever be.
Amen.
You know, listen, The result of this bad behavior in our nation is not a result of the pandemic. It just reveals who we really are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It revealed the sad part of who the church really is.
Yes.
Listen, the Bible tells us in Philippians, and I wish I had time, but I don't. It tells us, let me just read a few verses, and this is maybe where I need to pick up next Sunday, but it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. In other words, get to the top any way you can get to the top. It didn't matter who you hurt. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others more important or better than themselves. And it goes on and talks about that, about others and others and others. And then it ends in verse 5 of Philippians 2, and it tells us there's only one way to be others-centered. And it gives us a command. It says, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, we are to live and we are to act like one man. And that man is our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a command. Our attitude has to be the attitude of our Lord. Would you say that's revolutionary? I want you to listen to me now. You have to have a place to pray. The word seek first, it has to be embedded in your hearts and in your minds. I told you about our nation and how we are so divided. We are divided, loved one. We have more militia groups today than we've had in our history. Do you understand the things that are happening? I don't even want you to study that out. I've already studied that out. I don't want to read any more about it. I don't want to study any more about it. I just want to go to the throne. And that's where I stay because that's where my answers are. That's where the world's answers lie, at the throne of grace. Seek first. Seek first. Not second, not third. Well, I'm mad. Go think. Get over there and seek first the kingdom of God, or I'll slap you. No. Talking about our country, and the social Seetzen said this, very incredible man. The strength or weakness of a society depends more on the level of its spiritual life than on its level of, we could say, technology. Does that make sense? Never a market economy, nor even a general abundance, constitutes the crowning achievement of human life. If a nation's spiritual energies, let me stop and read it again. If a nation's spiritual energies have been exhausted, it will not be saved from collapse by the most perfect government structure. It's not the White House, it's God's house. Do you understand? It's not how well we vote, it's how well we seek first the kingdom of God. He says, if a nation's spiritual energies have been exhausted, it'll not be saved from the collapse by the most perfect government. A tree with a rotten core cannot stand. Today, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. Today, we live in a nation that is undergoing horrible division, even in the church. You know, I went back, and I was a history major in college, a pre-law history major. And I love history. I still love it. I study. I read a lot about it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back at the time of the worst division in our nation, which is almost like it is right now, to the Civil War, when brother was against brother. And I was thinking, did anybody just write one song to bring us together? And I'm going, I said, is anybody writing anything today in the church to bring us together? Or is it just that hip-hop stuff to make us feel good? I need some truth. I need some doctrine. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I went back and I looked at the Civil War. And to my surprise, I found this one song by this one Christian lady who was a poet and a songwriter who was in Washington, D.C., and there was an old hymn, but they wanted to add to this old hymn. And so she and her husband, who were devout Christians, who were also abolitionists, they were against the slavery, the sin. Do you understand me? And they helped free people that were slaves and so forth. And they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they asked Julia Ward Howe. And she said, okay, I'll add some stanzas and all that or whatever. And let me just pray. So she went to bed that night and prayed. And she woke up in the morning, and God gave, boom, a whole set of stuff. And she just about fell back to sleep. She said, oh, my, I've got to get up. I've got to pen this right this minute before I forget. Some great words. Words that are needed today. Words that are to be believed today. Let me just give you a few. I'll read it a couple. Let me just give you a couple of stanzas of what she wrote. He sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. Oh, what a great word. We cannot retreat. Amen. Why is the church retreating? We're the kingdom of God. She says, oh, he's sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet, our God is marching on. Listen to this. Oh, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free while his truth is marching on. The church has stopped marching. We cannot stop. We must advance. Wherever your feet touch, you have brought the kingdom of God, because you belong to the kingdom of God. And darkness has to yield when a child of the living God walks by. Do you understand? You have to believe those things. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. And I look and I say, oh Lord, in the beauty, oh what a word, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free while God is marching on. I'm going to leave you as the screen comes down with this great hymn, just a short part of it. And I'm going to go over to the Welcome Center. And if you're visiting with the first time, that's where I'm going to be. And I'd love to give you a gift. And if you need prayer, guess what? You can come down here and people will pray with you. Jesse's not going to close us out. When this is over, you're free to go. Listen to the words again. And may it stir your heart. Because it only takes two words to start the revolution. Amen. And that is, seek first.